Parashat Mishpatim. After quite a few parshiot, dealing with exciting and dramatic storylines that were rich with priceless life lessons learnt from our Avot, Imahot, Shvatim, Jews in Mitzrayim, Moshe, Aaron and company, Har Sinai, Matan Torah, so many unbelievable stories that you could mamash, l'havdil alef havdalot, you could write a movie, a best-selling movie, Academy Award winning movie on every single parasha up until this point. Not obviously on Mishpatim also, it's just a different type of movie. You know what I'm saying? The Torah now goes into the many actual mitzvot that are found in the Torah, primarily mitzvot, ben adam l'chavero, among others. We're not going to focus on those. We're going to jump all the way to the end. Usually a parashah shiur begins and focuses on the first pasuk in the Torah. We're going to go towards the end. The pasuk tells us about how Hashem is going to send a malach, an angel, to protect us in the desert and defend us from all of our enemies. The pasuk says, "Vavatem et Hashem Elokechem, you will serve Hashem your God. Uverach et lachmecha, He will bless your bread," meaning parnasah, "Vet memecha, your water, va'asiroti machala mikirbecha, and I will remove machala, disease, from among you." Farshim ask on this pasuk, many Farshim ask the same question. And that question is, why does the pasuk start off by speaking in the plural and end off speaking in the singular? Starts off speaking in Lashon Rabim, ends off Lashon Yachid. Va'avadtem et Hashem Elokechem, plural. Uverach et lachmecha v'et memecha v'asiroti machala mikirbecha, singular. What's going on over here? Says the Mor of Hashemesh, one of the great Hasidic rabbis, the student of Rav Melech from Lezhensk, explains the pasuk is coming to teach us the importance of tzibur, the importance of coming together, joining forces with other Jews. The importance of grouping together. A person must always include himself in the tzibur, not to isolate himself, not to single himself out. And he must include himself, must join together in all aspects of Avodat Hashem, whether it's Torah, whether it's Tefillah. So important to do things together with other Yehudim. Continues to say that when a person prays with a minyan and includes himself in the tzibur, he says his Tefillah is elevated to a point where it could merit so much good and help tear apart gezerot ra'ot, help tear apart evil decrees that were decreed among you or among Am Yisrael. He explains, this is the pshat. We always say this line, Berov Am Hadrat Melech, which simply means, Berov Am, with the more people that you have, Hadrat Melech, it brings about more beauty of the king. The more people, the better. This mitzvah, it's an inyan that manifests itself in many mitzvot, such as Megillah. Kriyat Megillah, it's much better to go and hear the Megillah, Berov Am Hadrat Melech, in a much larger minyan, because that beautifies the king much more than if you're just in a minyan of 10 people. Mor Hashemesh explains this line in a different way. He says, Berov Am, when you're Berov Am, when you're among many people, Hadrat Melech. Hadrat, Hadar, comes from the word Hadar, which in Aramaic means, Hadar means Hadar Bey. Changed his mind. Hadar Bey Mehahi. He changed his mind from that opinion. Sometimes we find that in the Gemara, that a person changes his mind, changes his opinion, and thinks of another opinion and now agrees to that one. Hadar Bey. Hadri Bey. Berov Am, Hadrat Melech. The more people you include yourself with, the more opportunity you have, Hadrat Melech, for the King of all kings to change his mind. To change HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mind from the Gzerot Ra'ot, from evil decrees, Chas V'Shalom, that were decreed upon us. Let's take this a step further with the Mashal, for all you sports fans over here. 2007 was a very historical year in the NFL. Who knows why? No? What about the Patriots?
Undefeated.
They went 18-1. The only team in NFL history to go 16-0 in a season. We're not going to talk about the playoffs because it's going to embarrass all the Boston fans here. But they ended up losing to the New York Giants in the Super Bowl. They went 18-1. Nachon. But we're not going to focus on that part. We're going to focus on the 16-0 part. The only team in history, NFL history, to go 16-0 in the regular season. Unbelievable. Right? Tom Brady, Randy Moss, the whole chevra.
Yeah, the Dolphins also. It's 14.
Get your facts. I told you don't say anything out of line. I told you. I told you. Yeah. So, they were a perfect team. However, if you look at every single player individually, no one was perfect, right? Even Tom Brady, as great as he wasn't perfect, okay? He threw some interceptions. Wasn't perfect. If you would take any individual on that team, he would not be able to achieve what the team as a whole achieved that season. Says the Ari HaKadosh, based on this mashal, he doesn't say this mashal exactly, but says the Ari HaKadosh, this is how he explains that so too with us. None of us are perfect. None of us are free of sin. We're all filled with imperfections, with contaminations. But when we come together as one, we have the potential to accomplish anything and everything. No one can stop us and nothing can stop us. The Gemara tells us, Gemara Brachot says, En HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mo'es b'tfilatan shel rabim. Kadosh Baruch Hu will never find the tefillah of rabim, of many individuals, of a tzibur, never find it disgusting. Never. Power of tefillah b'tzibur. Zohar Kadosh says that when a person who sins, he is infested, even though he's infested with contamination, while praying a minyan, while praying, if he goes and prays with a minyan, his tefillah will be slipped in together with everyone else's and will go undetected. However, if he will go and send his prayer upwards as an individual, they're going to grab that tefillah and shamayim and they're going to inspect it. And they're going to give it an inspection, an interrogation, and see, does this guy really deserve to get what he's praying for? Much more likely to have your prayers answered when you're combining it with everyone else's prayers. With this, we can explain a very well-known Gemara, also appears in Gemara Brachot. Gemara says, famously, I'll read you the story, it's an unbelievable story. Amar Rishmel ben Elisha. Shmuel ben Elisha was a Kohen Gadol, one of the great Tanaim. He said, Pam achat, nichnasti laktir ktort lifnai v'lifnim. One time, I went into the Kodash HaKodashim, the holiest of holy, holiest place on earth, to go and to burn the ketort, the spices. Who knows what day of the year this was? How do you know?
The only day
that anyone is ever allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKodashim is Yom Kippur. Very good. We'll see why that may be significant in a few minutes. And he says, Ra'iti HaKatviel, Ya Hashem Tzvakot, I saw the presence of Hashem in the form of HaKatviel, Shu Yoshev Al Kiseh Ram V'Nisa, that was sitting on a great and elevated place. V'Amarli said to me, Shmel Bini, Shmel my son, Barcheni, bless me. I don't really know what this means. Hashem telling Rishmael ben Elisha to bless him. Amar Tila said to him, Hi ratzon milfanecha, it should be your will in front of you. Sheikh Beshu achmechet ka'asecha, that your mercy should overcome your anger. Ve'igolu achamecha al midotecha, and your mercy should take over all of your attributes. Ve'titnaheg im banecha b'midat ha'rachamim, you should act with your children with a midah of mercy. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Go beneath the letter of the law and judge them favorably. And he agreed to me using his head. And the Gemara ends up saying, "V'kamash malan." We learn from here, unbelievable, that the tefillah of a simple individual should not be light in your eyes. And there we learn that even a simple person comes and says, gives you a bracha, you should have atzlacha. I wish you the best of luck with Shiduchim, with Parnasat, whatever it is. Who is this guy? He's a nobody. I'm much greater than him. I'm much more chashuv than him. Who is he? Alti hi birkat ediot kala beinecha. The bracha of a simple person should never be taken lightly in your eyes. And the question is as follows. The question is, birkat ediot, the tefillah of a simple person. This is the holy, holy Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, Kohen Gadol, the holiest person of that generation. He's a hediot. He's a simple person. So the pashut pshat is, yeah, compared to Hashem, he's a simple person. He is a hediot, 100%. So relatively speaking, when he's talking to Hashem, yeah, he's a hediot. He's very much a hediot. Incomparable. But another answer is as follows, the way we've been explaining it. Yes, as holy as he was, it's still only a birkat hediot. And you know why? Because it's the bracha v'yachid. He was all on his own giving that bracha. No one else was with him in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. We see from me an unbelievable thing. Explains the Marsha, something unbelievable. He says that here you have the holiest person of that generation. On the holiest day of the year, Yom Kippur, in the holiest room on earth, giving a bracha, and he's still called a hediot, because it was only him, and it wasn't combined with the tzibur, says the Marsha. Unbelievable. With the above, we could explain the pasuk that we started off with. Va'avatem Hashem Elokechem, you should serve your God, says the Maor Hashemesh. It's talking about tefillah b'tzibur. The Gemara Brachot says, "Ezo hi avodah shebalev." It's tefillah. What's avodah shebalev? What's avodah? Avodah is tefillah. Va'avatem et Hashem lokechem. When you go and you pray, in plural, with a minyan, with a tzibur. So then, uverachet lachmecha v'et memecha. Va'asiyutim machlam kirbecha. Hashem will go and focus on each, every person in that tzibur, individually, and grant him lachmecha, parnasa. Memecha, grant him hasiroti machala mikirbecha refuah shlema. Each person on an individual level will get in merit of being with that tzibur. So we know, as we are all Sfaradim, I think most of us are, but even if you're not, it's okay. We love segulot. No? Especially what? Segula for what?
Parnasa.
We love segulot for parnasa. For refuah shlema, for parnasa. So one time someone came before one of the great Hasidic rabbis and said to him, I need a segula for parnasa. He said to him, you want a segula for parnasa? Daven with a minyan. The person said to him, what? That's such a random thing. I thought you would tell me, I don't know, do a handstand while eating matzah and drinking 4 cups of wine and giving exactly 37 and a half coins to tzedakah. And then, I don't know what, some huji-buji things. No. Simple. Daven with a minyan. Where'd you get that from? This pasuk. The greatest segula for parnasa, for refuah shlema. Low-key, it's the best kept secret that we have. Honestly, as Jews, we love money, right? We love money. We're always looking for chaps, easy way to earn a lot of cash. No? So, you know, I'm not talking about us. We're taking it the hard way. We're going to YU, spending 3 years, having to go through all these very difficult classes, you know. But other people are making money very easily, without spending all this effort. So we all like making easy money. This is easy money right here. You don't need to do too much ishtadlut. You don't need to jump on your head 10 times. Tfilah betzibur. Minyan. I want to tell you 2 stories, and with that I'm going to end. Story number one, very powerful stories. Story number one is told about the Panovich Rav. The Panovich Rav opened up Yeshivat Panovich in Bnei Brak, and when he opened it up, he had this vision, and everyone started laughing at him. Israel was desolate at the time, desolate not only financially, but also desolate in terms of Torah. And he came to no man's land, and he said, I'm building a yeshiva, and no one's going to stop me. Panovich today is one of the greatest yeshivot, most legendary yeshivot of the time. But it all started with this one man who had a vision. The Rosh Hashiva went around the world, traveled around the world, endangered himself just to go around collecting money for this cause. And one time he traveled to Frankfurt and he went around. Imagine a Rosh Hashiva, imagine, you know, Rav Schechter, okay? Imagine Rav Schechter going around knocking on people's doors. Excuse me, I'm here to raise money for the yeshiva. We need more sfarim in the Beis Medrash. The Rebbeim haven't been paid. Baruch Hashem, why you pays the Rebbeim? I could tell you firsthand. But the, you know, imagine for yourself, the Rebbeim haven't been paid in a few months. They're sacrificing their lives and their livelihood just to teach Torah. We're in desperate need of money. Comes knocking on your door asking for money. Can you imagine? You can't imagine such a thing. Rav Kahaneman did that. Went around knocking on people's doors. He saw Mizuzai, knocked on their door. People laughed at him. People made fun of him, cursed him out. Said, get out of here. Collecting money for yeshiva. I'm not even religious. What's a yeshiva? He made his way to one wealthy individual that was Mechabed Torah, Mechabed Rabbanim, and said to him, listen, Kvod Harav, it's not befitting of you to go knocking on people's doors. Come inside. Let me make some phone calls. I'll get you a list of people that are capable, people that have money, and you'll go directly to them. You won't have to knock on random people's doors. Said, okay, beautiful. He made some phone calls. He put together a list of people and started calling them. Hey, listen, I have this Rav from Israel. He's here collecting money for his yeshiva. I know him personally. I know him firsthand. Is there any way he could come? So he got some money. One individual was extremely wealthy. Said, yeah, I would love to meet him. But unfortunately, tomorrow morning I'm going on a business trip. I'm going on a train to a different country, and you know, I'll be at the train station at at 7:45 a.m. If he wants, he could meet me there. So I said, okay, not a problem. No problem at all. That morning, Rosh Hashiva reported, it's the first time that he could remember in his entire life that he woke up this late. He woke up at 7 a.m. You heard that, guys? He couldn't remember the last time he woke up later than 7 a.m. I hope to see you guys all in Minyan tomorrow morning. So, 7 a.m., he doesn't know what happened. There were no like alarms back then. He woke up at 7 a.m. He woke up, he didn't know what to do. He said, I have two options in front of me. I could get dressed now and have this person bring me to the train station and meet this wealthy individual there at 7:45. But I'm going to miss Minyan. Or I could go to the Minyan. I think it was like, let's say 7:30. I could go then, pray with the Minyan. I'm going to miss this appointment. He's going to hop on the train. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? I said, Minyan. I can't miss Minyan. It's unmissable. He went to the Minyan. He prayed with Kavanah, with peace, relaxation. After the Minyan, he said, listen, it's 8:30 right now. What do I have to lose? Let me go to the train station, see what happens. He heads to the train station, and he gets there around 8:45, close to 9 o'clock, and he sees this wealthy individual running towards the train, trying to catch the 9 a.m. train. And he said, hi, how are you? I'm the Rosh Hashiva. How are you? I thought you took the earlier. I missed it. There was an emergency. I woke up late this morning. I wasn't able to, I don't know. I don't know what happened to me. I tried to take the later train, 9 a.m. But Baruch Hashem, you're here and I'm here. Here, let me write you a check. Wrote him a check. So Rav Kahaneman went back to yeshiva. Many years later, he held on to that check and he showed the Talmidim. He said, guys, you see this check? At the time, this check took care of the yeshiva and all of its expenses for 6 months. Took care of everything. Extraordinary amount of money that he was given. And he said, what if I would have skipped Minyan and I would have gone there, been there at 7 o'clock, 7:30, 7:45? I would have been waiting there for over an hour. I would have given up. The guy's not here. He pranked me. I would have left. Would have left with no money. I made minyan, and that's zechut. That's why I made all this money. He taught them that from here you see, you follow mitzvot, you don't lose out. You don't lose out for following mitzvot. You follow the ways of the Torah. You believe in God. You believe God controls the world. You believe God's in charge of your parnasah. If you do, amazing. Then you could also believe that He probably wants you to do His mitzvot. And if you do, it will not come off of any expense of your livelihood, because He controls that too. Story number two. With this, we're going to end. This is a little more closer to home. A story that I'm reading from Reli Melech Biederman, that he heard from the person firsthand, a New Yorker, all right? New Yorker that lost a ton of money and was in desperate need of a loan from the bank, but he had no money. So he found a bank that was interested in providing for him a loan, obviously with high interest. But in order to get this loan, he had to go and meet with the manager of the bank, who lived in Detroit. Took a flight to Detroit. Anyone here from Detroit? No? Okay. Took a flight to Detroit and made up a time, 4:30 in the afternoon. That's when the meeting was with this with the manager, and he's going to meet him in his office. Perfect. He planned out his day. Beautiful. He showed up at close to 4 o'clock in the local shul. He's going to pray mincha, 4 o'clock, 15 minutes, 4:15. Plenty of time to go a block away, you know, to the bank and meet with the manager. Shows up the minyan, it's 4 o'clock exactly. One other person there. I can't believe it. I scheduled my whole day around this minyan. And the meeting, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to miss minyan. I'm going to go to the meeting. I won't have an opportunity to pray with the minyan. Another person came. Started getting a little later. They didn't start yet. And the person who was a chazan, he's told everyone, listen, I'm a chiyuv. I have yahrzeit. Please, guys, don't leave. I need to say kaddish. Please don't leave. He said, I got to go. It's 4:10 now. They didn't start yet. Seven guys. Eight guys, 4:15, they still didn't start. Nine guys, finally, at 4:20, they start. Mincha, they get the 10th person. Now, you could imagine, after Shemana Yisrael, what does this guy want to do? Wants to bounce to make this meeting in time. He's about to leave. The Chazan says, please, I'm begging you, if you leave right now, I won't be able... After Chazat Hashatz, I won't be able to say Kaddish after Aleinu. Ashkenazim say Kaddish after Aleinu. Won't be able to say Kaddish after Aleinu. I need to say Kaddish for my whoever it was, my yard site. Please don't leave. He's like, what am I going to do? I can't break his heart. I can't just leave right now. He decided to stay. They finished at 4:30. The guy ran. He took his jacket. He ran out the door. He made it there in about 7 minutes. To the bank, he stepped into the office, and lo and behold, the manager himself wasn't even there yet. The secretary says, come and sit over here, the manager will be right with you. In comes the manager, who was none other than the Chazan himself. The Chazan walks in to his office. I don't believe it. You were just at the minyan. So you're the one who... You're so-and-so? Yeah. You're coming for a loan? You're coming to collect? Yeah, that's me. On the spot, he doesn't do any research, no conversation, nothing. He grants the loan to him. He says, if you're loyal enough to your, you know, to Yahadut, to Halacha, that you would stay at a minyan like that just to help another person out, I trust that you will give this money back. No doubt in my mind. Signed it off for him. and sent him away. You follow Torah mitzvot, you don't lose out. But more specifically, the biggest shefa, the biggest merit that a person can have is praying. And the greatest form of prayer that a person can do is with other Jews, is with a minyan. Try to go above and beyond just to make sure that you pray with a minyan. Look through your schedule. Guys, sometimes it's you think it's so easy. You open up your phone, you look at Yuzmanim, right? We live in a very, very dense area where there's so many minyanim. So many minyanim. It's so easy. It's so easy. When you wake up in the morning, look at your minyan, look at the minyan schedule, look at your schedule. Slip in a time that you could go and pray with a minyan. It's not so difficult. And the trade-off is unbelievable. The merits that you're going to get for praying with a minyan. Arvit is 10 minutes. Ashkenazim, 7 minutes. Mincha, 15, 20 minutes. 20 minutes is going to kill you. You're going to fill your class because you spent 20 minutes of your day stopping whatever you were doing. Ki'ilu, you're in the middle of studying very, very hard. Yeah, right. I don't believe you. Right? 20 minutes to go. The latest minyan on campus, I think, if you're not on IBC or JSS, 8:30. You won't wake up at 8:30 for a business meeting, for an interview, for an internship. You'll get up at 5 a.m. I know you guys. Why can't you do the same for God? Oh, I'm going to put on tefillin in my room. Not the same. Not the same. Vavatem et Hashem Elokechem. You go, you pray with a minyan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to grant you verachat lachmecha v'et memecha v'asiyuti machala mikirbecha v'zat Hashem b'zchut. All of you praying with a minyan, answering all those amenim, making all those brachot. All of Am Yisrael should have v'fuah shlema, v'fuah tanefesh, v'fuah taguf. And everyone should see only good things. Thank you guys so much.